Hello there, and welcome to the podcast. It's John Markar here, and I thought I'd just jump in with a very quick but very important message that I wanted to share with you before you delve into this episode of the Driven Chat podcast. This podcast, the Driven Chat podcast, has now come to an end. But don't worry, I'm not going to stop you from listening to this episode or from catching up with the 185 episodes that we've recorded in this format. I just wanted to let you know that if you're looking for our new episodes recorded after December 2023, then you'll need to seek out our new podcast, The Driven Podcast. You can find The Driven Podcast in all the usual podcast platforms, including, chances are, the one that you're listening to this one on right now. So please do enjoy this episode, share it with a friend by all means. But when it's done, don't forget to search for the new podcast, The Driven Podcast, and subscribe to the new format to hear the new stuff. To make life easy, head on over to the Driven website via driven.site. There you will find links through to the new podcast, including links to your preferred podcast platform. And hey, whilst you're there, why not check out everything else we do, including hand-picked automotive news stories, car and bike reviews, video features, and even more. For now, though, I'll let you enjoy this episode, and I will remind you again at the end of the episode, but for the future reference, this message is approximately 1 minute and 30 seconds long. That's 6 clicks on the 15-second skip button. Enjoy!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Driven Chat podcast in association with Paramex Digital. You dream it, we bring it to life. Find out more at drivenchat.com.
Hi, welcome to the Driven Chat podcast. I'm Andy J. Now, I'm really pleased to be able to say that I'm sat with the lovely Amy Shaw.
Hello.
She's photography's finest in the automotive space. The marvellous Mr. John Markar, who we love to bits, is also in the house.
Hi.
Just currently silencing his phone, naughty chops. And the man, the guest par excellence, it's Ant Partridge. How you doing, Ant?
Hey.
Hello, Ant.
It's great to be here.
I'm going to make a confession right now. This is take number three for our podcast with Ant.
Standard procedure in my field.
The first time involved John and I travelling to a hotel and it got a bit whiskied. The second time, it got a bit UFO'd and fluorescent suited. So just so that we cover this in the first minute to 2 minutes, Ant, what's your favourite car?
GT40, 1969.
Amy, what's your least favourite car?
Oh, what's the one that is based on like a dolphin? It looks like a really fat car, you know, with like...
Based on a dolphin?
Yeah, it's got those two little weird headlights that... It's the ugliest car you can think of, that one. Apparently they're amazing.
Hyundai Coupe?
No, not that one.
Chevy Leaf?
No. You know what?
Go on. Multipla?
Yes. Multipla. Yes, that's
it. I quite
it.
Like a Multipla.
No.
Yeah, the bubbly one. It looks like a car that's melted onto another car.
Apparently it's been based on a dolphin.
Oh, is that right?
I mean, who knows?
John. A toxic dolphin.
Not enough car chat, you two.
Sorry.
Steady. John, yes. I'm trying to make sure we actually get some car content in the first couple of minutes of this pod, because otherwise John's going to kill me. John, who's the most famous person you've had in a car with you?
Oh, that's a very good question. Lewis Hamilton. Ooh.
You lucky so-and-so, really? Mm,
yeah.
Did you drive him?
Yes.
Was he impressed with your driving?
Not particularly, because we weren't going very fast. Mm. We were driving around. We were in Nevada, of all places.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a very slow parade. Very lovely car. It was a Koenigsegg.
But you're also friends with the Hoff.
Like, yeah, we've talked about this.
No, this is the trouble, though. He says the Hoff, and then he doesn't text him, and it turns out to be, were you though?
If you've been in the car with the Hoff, who is more famous, would you say? Lewis Hamilton or the Hoff?
I'm going to quite confidently say Lewis Hamilton.
I'm going to beg to differ.
Depends where you ask in the world.
I'm totally with John. Lewis Hamilton, seven times world champion.
Yes.
At the minute, is obviously very famous now. But like, up until...
If you don't watch car racing, then
exactly.
But the Hoff...
No, but then...
That's valid. And
singer.
To be fair, I
Have
do remember
Have you
seen once.
His leather jacket with light bulbs on it?
I have, actually.
Draws a crowd. 30,000 people he sings to in Germany.
Yeah.
That I've never... seen Knight Rider. Well, they just go to see, watch him sing.
People also, I mean, he credits himself for the removal of the Berlin Wall as well.
He genuinely does. He genuinely does believe that he was.
Again, this is not car chat. And
we can bring that back to car chat because my friends did the Gumball Rally with the Hoff.
Well, speaking
and they
of
had
the Gumball
to kick
rally,
him out of the car.
Do you know who...
they did it in kit,
do you know
the original
who runs
kit.
The Gumball Rally or who used to? John Marker, he doesn't mention
actually,
it.
Yeah, I meant to talk to you about this.
Go on.
Do you remember years ago
John's
when...
John's glazing over
when,
already. Look at him.
Sorry.
Wait, no, go
this
on.
Is, so Bam, the boy, the Jackass boys were there in the Volkswagen.
Before my time. This is, oh, okay. That was like 2000.
So they were there in their Volkswagen with a Porsche engine in it. That's they right. had the bus.
Camper thing.
Yes. And my mate... One of my best mates in the world, Niels Peter Jensen, who he'll be listening at some point. They did the Gumball Rally, him and a few of his mates, in kit. One of the guys that did it, Jared Hasselhoff, who's he's the guitarist from the Bloodhound Gang.
Okay, right, yeah.
And he's like the cousin or nephew of David Hasselhoff.
Yes, he is. I've met him as well.
Lunatic.
Yeah.
Great guy, lunatic. From Berlin, and so they ended up doing the Gumball Rally. They got talked into it, and they're like, "Oh, we'll do it in kit." It's like parked the last car, the actual real car, mm-hmm. was in a garage, and they kind of fixed it to run, and they did the Gumball Rally, and they were like the only poor guys on the rally, right? And like they couldn't even afford petrol, and like everybody, every time they'd go to their car, there'd be like $1,000 stuffed down the seat, like some rich dude would be like, they'd be like, "Here you go, get yourself some petrol and buy yourself some dinner," you know what I mean? So they were
$1,000,
yeah. They were getting
these
like,
guys. Are they any idea how much petrol costs?
Well,
this is amazing.
No, clearly not. When you're a billionaire, you don't know how much petrol costs, do
it's
you?
The, what's the you know? What's the other test? The how much is a pint of milk? The politicians get asked, yep. How much is a pint of milk? And they're like, oh, I don't know, £1,000? Was it Ricky Gervais says, I don't know, but here's 50 quid, go and get me one. I love it.
But yeah, so they had the Hoff with them through in and out, and he was kind of in his bouts of, you know, this is back in the day when he was drinking quite a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I think, I'd probably tell this, I'm butchering this story, but the end of it, right, Kit broke down. So they're
probably weighed down.
They were in New York City going into Times Square. I think this one ended. And, so they were coming down the whatever road it's called, and Kit has broken down. And so, and there's a big parade on right at the same time. I don't know what parade it was. And so, but they had all the Marvel, like Superman, they had Batman, they had all That's these cool. like, characters
right.
all helping push Kit down the road. So they've got Kit. And the Hoff is all pissed off. He got out of the car because he's like, there's no way I'm going to be seen on camera pushing Knight Rider across the thing with me in a car. So he got out.
So he was pissed off.
He was pissed off.
Very well, good.
Completely Dad pissed joke. Off.
Very good.
Yeah.
Right? So he got out, like, you know, spit his dummy out. And so my mates were in Kit and they got pushed across the finish line with all these superheroes, right? So then this old boy comes up to the window and he's like, listen, if you guys need a hand fixing the car, just give me a call. And they're like, oh, that's fantastic because we got to get this car. We're going to do another road trip and then we're going to get out of America. So like a few days after the end of everything calmed down. And so after that, they call this guy up, this old boy that gave him this number. So they go to his house and they're driving out in the middle of nowhere. They get to this massive house and they're like, where the hell are we? So they get there and the guy like pulls him in into his garage, and so he pulls the car in and he's got like a full on workshop with mechanics and everybody at his house, right? And these guys are looking around and it's like just all like old classic Mustangs and Cobras and all this.
Please tell me this is Colonel Sanders, KFC's.
No, it's only Carroll Shelby. Right?
Wow.
And so he,
okay, that's even better.
Yeah. So they go to his house, right? And one of his mechanics helps him out. They fix the car. They find some parts that they needed and got the car all running. They spent the day with Carroll Shelby. He showed him around the house and they went off and did their thing. But yeah, it was like, how cool was that?
That's really cool. Yeah. That's really cool. John, question for you. Have you ever driven a monster truck?
No, I haven't.
That sounds like
fun. Like the proper big driving over other cars.
I'm dying to have a go on one of them.
I really want to do that.
Like, what would you do? Would you I don't know what you try. Would you just try and find like a scrapyard that you can just drive over the cars? And
you need to go to America if you want
to
drive.
I mean, I'd kind of like to do almost anything in a monster truck just to see what it's like. I'd like to drive over a couple of other cars, obviously that, you know, are about to be scrapped and don't have people in them, etc.
Or the Vauxhall Mockers.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'd like to do a jump in one because it looks awesome.
Yeah. You know, you have to jump one. If you're in a monster truck, you have to jump one and you have to wheelie one.
They do backflips now.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. This is Andy. I like that the you know, John and I tried to get you into motorcycles and you're quite worried about getting on a motorcycle, but you're like, yeah, I will flip a monster truck.
Yeah, I'm totally out for a monster truck.
Yeah, because you never get hurt in one of those, right?
Precisely. Exactly. Yeah. That. Yeah. Not worried about that at all. Yeah, I'm in a monster truck like that. I won't even think. I'm there.
There's back an amazing festival that we should try and attend. It's in Florida. It's in... what's the really, really muddy bit of Florida? They do this, it is a festival for monster trucks, but people build their own. And they turn this mass of land into this mud bath festival where they just rip around in monster trucks for a weekend.
Awesome.
Maybe that
should be our MX-5 conversion plan. Maybe we should convert an MX-5 into a monster, has it?
Yeah, my friend Martin did it for a TV show. Yeah. Looks good.
MX-5 monster truck.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but come on. I'm not American, but I'm Canadian. Yeah. And you know, monster. It's a monster truck, not a
monster MX-5.
Monster MX-5. No,
a Miata. Monster Max.
See, in Canada, I know that I'm gonna get slayed for this, because I'm actually building two MX-5s at the moment. One into a drift car and another one for this other project I'm doing. And I do actually like the cars now. I didn't before, and up until about a few years ago, I couldn't stand these cars, and I had no idea why they were quite cool. But until I drove one, and now I get it. But like up until that day in my life, they've always been me ought to get a new car.
Okay, right, gotcha.
That's what they're called in Canada. It's like anybody that drove one in high school was like me ought to get a new car.
In high school?
Yeah, in high school.
But like, I'm not wrong. In my high school in Canada is like for 24, 25-year-olds, right?
18, you leave high school.
You leave high school?
You leave high school at 18.
So it's like,
14 to 18 is high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You guys can afford.
Yeah, you guys can drive like really young as well.
This was back in the 90s.
How old were you when you got your first bike?
When I got my first bike? First road bike or first like?
I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess the first ride you were... Six.
No. I'm twice that age almost.
Oh, okay.
11.
Don't forget, the man that sits before us, the resplendent Mr. Ant Partridge, is now at the ripe old age of 67. So he's lived a... He's
that's
lived
my
a
mind.
Life.
My body is much older. My body is about 163 currently.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Ant and I, we've got like a month between us in age. And I like to call you old because I'm always calling me old. Oh.
It's going to take me about half an hour to get up from where I'm sat right now when we're done.
I've got six pillows to help my back because I'm in the most uncomfortable position with this microphone. I'm hating every second. I'm trying to speak as little as possible.
Do you want some anti-inflammatories and some painkillers? I've got a pocket full right now.
So you're listening to the Driven Chat podcast. How are you doing? Listen, a quick one for you. Now, sometimes it's kind of prudent to do this at the end, but I don't want you to kind of switch off at the end, and there's going to be loads of the pod still to go. So instead, I'm going to ask Amy to ask you about doing ratings and reviews for this pod, please.
If you don't, I will hunt you down. I'm just going to threaten all your listeners.
Both of them.
I will hunt you down.
That's my mum you're talking to.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
It's not. She doesn't know.
Okay. It is your mum, to be fair. So I won't finish that sentence.
Some people might enjoy being hunted down by you. I mean, I can imagine it being a very like joyous thing because you'd be like, hey, how's it going? And then you'd be like, do you want some whiskey?
Right. If you'd like to, listener, review our podcast, you'll be entered into a competition where we will arrange for Ant Partridge to chase you down.
All right.
I'll tell you what, that's a good shout.
Leave a review, tell us your name, give us a rough idea of how to get to you, ping us a message on Instagram just saying, I'd like Ant Partridge to chase me, in and around those words, and you will be automatically entered into a competition and we will make this happen.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
As long as they have a bottle of Jack Daniels when they get hunted down, I'm in.
Well, okay. we'll give them a bottle of Jack Daniels then. Yeah. I think that's fair enough.
I think that's a perfectly legitimate, well thought out competition, all in alliance with Ofcom regulations.
I would say our two conditions to that is, firstly, you've got to give us at least 5 stars, please. And yes. Secondly, the review has to be glowingly positive. And say nice things about everyone, followed by, I would like to be entered into the draw to be chased down by ants, please. And I reckon we might get a few.
I appreciate that's a lot of admin, but it's going to be worth it.
And there could be some HR and some legal involved in that situation. But
there'll be a lot of small print somewhere.
You can do it whilst listening to the pod, though. You just whack on the old 5-star thing. You do a little rating, provided you're not driving, where you just kind of say, hey, nice things about Amy, nice things about John, moderately nice things about Andy. And also, I'd like to be chased down by ants, please.
Just simple ants as that. Chase me.
And let's run it down to what?
Hashtag ant chase me.
And we'll leave this active till what, the end of Jan 2021?
Fine. Good.
It'd be like one of those, you know, is it Spain where they get chased by a bull?
Yes.
Mm. You'd just be the bull and everybody would be chasing.
That'd be a great festival. We'll book out a village somewhere where everybody in the village just runs away and you're chasing them going, rah.
No, steady on.
Can I do that on a Ducati with, like, you know,
yeah. This has got much too big. It'll be 80 miles an hour. It'll be more like the Channel 4 show Hunted. You know, where they've got that command HQ and you've got people like, I only really watch the celebrities ones because it's a bit more fun. Where you've got the kind of people like Annika Rice and so on, who just kind of disappear and they're being tracked. So it'll be like that. Ant will have someone's Instagram handle and we will send that someone a bottle of whiskey and we will give him like 4 hours to find them. Yeah. How's that?
What an amazing video.
Do I get a tranquilizer gun and a motorcycle?
No. All you'll be allowed to do is a socially distanced accepting of whiskey, socially distanced selfie, and if lockdown has eased, you can lick their cheek.
All right.
How's that sound?
I prefer licking foreheads, but cheeks.
Forehead is okay, but only if obviously the COVID's under control.
Only if the government guidelines permit the licking of facial features,
which they may not. But in all seriousness, we would really appreciate your reviewing the show and spreading the word and telling your friends. Now back to the pod. We're sitting with a master builder, genius motorbike rider, a man of engines and grease and dirt and duck fat, and you have.
Wow, I've never been described like that before, but hey.
Entered the public's kind of psyche and realization courtesy of a brilliant show on Discovery Network called Goblin Works Garage, which is great fun, where yourself, Helen, and Jimmy DeVille take a bunch of cars and bikes, pimp them up, flog them on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Rinse and repeat.
That's pretty much the name of the game.
But there's a whole heap of stuff going on around you that isn't Goblin Works as well. You know, you kind of got to that because of the fact that you have lived and breathed this life. I have to sit back. I've got to let you two do some talking.
I have a genuine question, actually. And I'm sure a lot of people will be wondering this, is what was the journey from you from being somebody that was genuinely, your business was running workshop. Yeah, you have your own workshop still, don't you?
I have a workshop at home now.
Right.
I have no employees because I can't do that again. Uh-huh. I had a custom motorcycle shop in Spain, in Marbella.
Cool.
I lived in Marbella for nearly 15 years.
And how did it go from you having your own custom shop, doing what you're ultimately doing now on TV?
Yeah.
What was the transition? Did somebody find you? Was it?
Yeah. It was strange. Really. Literally, the simple version was. Discovery Channel called me up one day and said, do you want to do a TV show?
Lovely.
And I said, okay, why not? And that was it.
There you go, folks.
That's as easy as it is.
Just in case you're having the same reaction as I am, everyone now hates you.
How do you become a TV star?
I'm just like,
that's what happens, is it? Yeah. They just won't. Been in the industry like, you know, 20 blooming years. Had to graft and shit. Next time someone asks me, how do I get into it? And I get these daily. I get daily questions of how do I get into telly? What do I do? Daily. I'm going
to
say, well, according to Ant, you just sit at home. I'm going to stop telling them the advice about how much they have to work and how much effort they have to put in and how much they have to understand.
Hold on. I did
just
a good,
be like Ant. Wait good, for the phone to ring.
I did
get
a good 30.
Catchy number.
I did a good 35 years of grafting to get that phone call.
Right, because you were working for a while for Age Concern UK, weren't you? You were like the poster boy.
Exactly, you know.
When you got that phone call, did it mean that you had to move from Spain?
Well, here. So this is the actual story. So what happened? Someone from the production company hired by Discovery Channel went into the bike shed in London, mm-hmm. and they talked to my buddy Dutch, one of the owners, who you guys you need to get on the podcast. Dutch and Vicky, the owners of the bike shed. Vicky. Really cool people. Car, bike, petrol head.
I am wearing one of the bike shed hoodies right now.
You are indeed. I am. So they go in there, and Dutch used to Dutch and Vicky, both big media people. Dutch worked for MTV for 20 odd years. He used to groom VJs. So he'd right. find the talent,
yeah.
and groom them, make them into famous VJs.
Cool.
And that was his gig. That's what he did. And Vicky used to work in another media company, big media company. I can't remember what. But anyway, so they opened the bike shed in London, which is the bike shed, if no one knows what it is, if they're listening, it's kind of like, if you know what Caffeine and Machine is, it's like a bar, restaurant, pub, hangout, shop for, you know, bikers, for guys that ride bikes in the heart of London, in central London.
And also, if you want to meet cool, bikey people,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you go there a lot. Yeah. Charlie Borman hangs out there a lot.
Well, he's actually one of the founding members he's part owner as well.
So it's a good place to hang out. I've also kind of heard that if you write your number on the toilet wall, you know, now sometimes that's seen as a dodgy thing. Sometimes
Charlie will definitely call you if that happens.
Sometimes you put your phone number on a toilet wall. It's a kind of, there's a sexual intonation or whatever. Ant did it and became a TV star. So,
yeah,
you know, that's all you're going to do. If you need to get into telly, go to the bike shed, write your number on the toilet wall, you'll get a call from
Discovery.
You'll
get a phone call from Discovery. Yeah. So Discovery actually, they went in there, talked to Dutch, and they're like, well, you're kind of the motorcycle man of England. You know, you're the hub of custom motorcycles in Britain now, because they just opened the bike shed. And they're like, you know, one, can you do it? And he's like, well, I don't build motorcycles. So I know a lot of builders. But leave it with me. I'll have a think. I've got a guy in mind, and I'll see what the crack is. And literally I got an email that night from Dutch, and it said, the email had no title. It was just from Dutch. And it just said, look out for a phone call from, this woman from Discovery Channel, and said nothing more. I'm like, so I send him one back. I'm like, what's that all about? And the second email, the reply from that was, fame and fortune, buddy, fame and fortune. And that was nothing. And then I emailed him back and he didn't answer any more emails. I'm like, what's going on? I try to phone him. Wouldn't answer my phone calls. I think he purposely blanked me for about 2 weeks just to kind of make me go, what the hell was that all about? And then literally I just thought, okay, well, whatever. You know, I just kind of carried on. I was building a bike for a Russian guy in Marbella at the time, at my house, because I'd left my motorcycle. I had a big custom shop, and me and my business partner kind of didn't agree on a lot of things. So I decided to go my own way and leave him to it. And so I was working from home in my own shop. And so then the phone rings, and it's one of the researchers from the production company from Discovery Channel. And he's like, hey, do you want to do a TV show? And I'm like, yeah, why not?
Okay, I've got to say, right, just jumping in very quickly. That researcher, what a lazy so-and-so, right? As a researcher, it is your job to get to know the subjects, to get inside them, to understand if they'd be good on camera, to get screen tests, to ask for content, to see how you feel. Not to just phone up and say, hi, we don't know you. Would you like to be on TV?
Or,
that's naughty to that researcher. However, they struck gold.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, what if it was actually the most intelligent, clever, quick-witted researcher in the world? They clocked within seconds of that initial hello when you answered the phone.
Yeah, well, he did actually ask me. He's like, do you want to do a TV show? And do you mind, you know, jumping on a Skype call so we can see you?
So it wasn't just suddenly.
So it wasn't just like, right. Hey, you want to do a TV show? Yeah, fly over here next week. We're going to start filming.
You know what I mean? I feel like we've made it sound a little bit too simple.
No. I did. And
it's like saying to Amy, so Amy, how do you become an amazing photographer? Well, just point
buy
and shoot.
A camera. Buy a camera.
Well, I bought a camera and then suddenly Goodwood wanted me to be there. And, you know, they hadn't seen it in my work or anything. You know? It's kind of like, because there is actually a lot of skill and craft that goes into all of these things. That's the point I'm trying to make. John, what's your opinion on electric scooters?
Do you know what? I quite like them. I like electric the electrification of motorbikes in general, I think, is a really good thing. But little electric scooters, I noticed, I can't think now off the top of my head what the brand is, but there's a brand.
Hold on, let me stop you there for a second. We're talking about scooters. We're not talking about those, you know, those like Lime things. You go to LA and you see them broken in piles in the corner of the street.
No, yeah, I know what you mean.
They're like little, Zero?
I don't know what they're called. Zero do the brilliant, they look like
they're
motorbikes.
More of a motorcycle.
They look fantastic. I'm desperate to have a go on a Zero, actually. Hello, Zero PR. there's another one. I think they're called, is it Loco? I might have got the name completely wrong. But it's they make these fantastic little, designed for city centres, do about 50 miles range to a charge, which is huge. You know, what more would you need if you're just scooting around in town?
Yeah.
And they make these brilliant scooters. And I think that is going to be the future. So I like, a very long answer to your question, Andy. I think they're great.
Thanks, John. I'd just like to address the listener again at the moment. Hi, guys. I really would love you to get Ant to chase you. Like, if you've ever met Ant...
Do you want me to chase them now on an electric scooter? Is that what you're getting at?
If you're a friend of his on any level, you know you want to be in on this. I'll buy you the whiskey to give to him, all right? And if you've never met Ant before... If you meet him, he might make you a TV star. So I thoroughly recommend you leave a review that does involve saying, I'd like to be chased by Ant.
Should we make this part of a TV show?
This could be the start of a brilliant TV show.
I'll pitch this to Discovery tomorrow.
Chased by Ant. We call it Chased for Whiskey. Mm. It's literally the Whiskey Chaser.
He's the Whiskey Chaser.
We've come up with something.
There it is.
You get the old, we know who, the lady that you've mentioned. You get her on the phone. You say, hello.
Yeah.
Idea for you, the Whiskey Chaser. I locate podcast listeners of the Driven Chat podcast who are automotive fans anyway.
Very easy. And pop your phone on noisy just in case it starts ringing.
Yeah. it's currently vibrating in my pocket.
There you
right
go.
Now.
This is it. Yeah. It's happening.
I'd love this to happen. I think that would be
the Whiskey Chaser.
The Whiskey Chaser. Glorious. Whether that happens or not, I'm stealing that title and I'm going to do something else with it.
It's a nice Instagram handle. I bet that's taken, isn't it? On Instagram.
That would be cool. I don't know. Someone will take it by the end of this. Amy, you know those crazy flying droney things that take people that they've been testing in Dubai?
Like miniature helicopters that are like, all helicopters. So we're talking about helicopters.
Sort of.
It's like a helicopter that someone flies from remote control.
They were going to make them the flying taxis. You know? But they're unmanned, aren't they?
I don't know if they're unmanned or not, but that is one of the things that is being done in research at the minute, the idea about flying cars. The problem that we're going to have with them is that there are not going to be enough pilots that would be able to be qualified enough to be able to get them into the air and going around, because people don't yet trust automotive, cars driving on the road. They're definitely not going to trust
automated. Yeah.
What kind of signal do you need to put on? Like, do you have four different signals? You got up and down, left and right? I guess Stevenson would be your man to ask, because he's currently designing those at the moment, isn't he? He left McLaren to go and do that.
His flying car thing.
Frank's a very interesting guy.
He's a very...
You should probably get him on the pod, shouldn't we?
You definitely should. Interesting. I met Frank about 4 years ago, and I had no idea who he was. And I'm like, I was at the NEC, we were doing this Discovery live stage thing. Yeah. And Mike Brewer was there, and Ant Anstead. They were announcing that there was this first season of doing.
I was there with you, because Frank did a Q&A.
He did, exactly. He was in their episodes. They did a little teaser of one of their episodes. I think they showed us an episode, didn't they? A bunch of us.
They did.
And then Frank was there, and I'm like, I recognize this guy. Like, I just recognize this guy. I have no idea who he is, and I didn't know that he was the guy that designed all these amazing cars, the Mini, the Fiat 500, the X5, the 430, the 360, the McLaren P1.
We're forgetting the most crucial, the Escort Cosworth Whale Tail.
His claim to fame was the Escort Kazi Escort with the third wing and the spoiler. But I knew this guy from somewhere. I'm like, where do I know this guy? So I walked up to him. I come down off stage and walk up. I'm like, and they're saying, he's from, he's Spanish. And so I walk up and I'm like, oye, tío, te conozco. And he just looks at me. He's like, here's like this Andalusian accent. He just turns around and then we start talking in Spanish. Right. And then I'm like, who the hell are you? And he's like, do you know so-and-so? I'm like, oh my God, he's from Malaga. So he, like, brilliant. My friends in Marbella are his old friends, because like, some of my friends grew up in Marbella. They're English, but they grew up in Marbella. And he's like, he's a bit older than me. You know, I'm,
well, I mean, he's probably a bit younger than you, actually. I'd say.
Well,
he's what, 60s?
Yeah.
He's a bit younger than you.
Well, okay. I was trying to pretend I was a bit younger than Andy. but yes, so he's like really good mates. And I'm like, now he's like, do you remember this and this? And that? Yeah, I was, and now I'm like, ah, okay. And it's funny because we've never actually met, we've been in the same parties or same events and hanging out with the same, and we have the same friends, the same, maybe we've dated the same girl, who knows. But like, we have, it was like, ah, oh, no, we spent this night drinking whiskey together in this hotel after the NEC, just coming up with all these old stories. And I was like, oh man.
So Amy, you know, the whole flying thing that we were talking about, right? The automated one. Okay, there is an automated one, isn't there?
Yes.
And I think like one of the crown princes has been up in it. You know, it was like a publicity stunt in 2018 or something like that. But we haven't seen much of them recently. I mean, we haven't seen much of anything in 2020. But, you know. Would you go in one?
Yes, absolutely.
Fully automated. Currently.
Fully automated. Automated, yes. I
right
think
now,
it would.
Before they've all done scary things.
What if I was the one controlling it from the ground?
If maybe I had a death wish, yes. But
if I hadn't had any
kind of like my life a little bit, so I might pass on that. I mean, it'd be exhilarating, of course. But I totally trust you, of course. But you know, I don't trust the machines now.
Of course.
Yes, but no, I think it would be interesting, a thrill. I don't know how much we'd survive the first few flights necessarily.
I'm going to bring a... You've said something quite interesting there. I don't trust the machine.
Yeah. Well, so
what is the general consensus and opinion on automation in the world of cars, just cars, right, before we get too excited with
at the moment,
flying things?
I've got a lovely Volvo that I'm driving around, and it's got this like lane assist thing going on.
Still got the XC90.
You know what? Thank you, COVID, for this. I've managed to now bag it for over a month instead of just a week.
I have a love-hate relationship with this lane assist. Because it'll blow your tires out in a corner all day long, like it did to my rental car 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Did you just...
I was mid-corner, and I was like, you have to have your hand kind of on the wheel. So you're mid-corner, you're like still in the corner. You're like, okay, but the car's doing it. And the car just goes... Nah.
Yep.
And just stops turning the corner and sent me straight into a curb.
So you crashed the car?
No, I just jumped the curb and smoked the tire a little bit.
Oh, no. But this is the thing. Sometimes it's like, you'll be on. So I did many, many miles up and down to Glasgow for a shoot. And it's kind of like there. And then when you think to yourself, oh, there's like a car might pull up in front of you, like way, way down the lane. And then suddenly the car does brake. And you're like,
that's the adaptive cruise.
Oh, I didn't have the adaptive brake.
Oh, I had that and the lane assist as well. And sometimes, like, it panics a little bit too much. And then I think the guy behind me must think I've had a few to drink or something, because it looks like I can't drive. And I'm like, no, it's not me, it's the car. So I do love it, because it means that I can, like, not switch off, but it does take an element of, you don't have to worry as much about, you know, constantly keeping in the middle of your lane. You can feel it does it for you. Like, it's...
So, but I'm going more along the angle of, you sit in your car, you tell it where you want to go, and you don't touch a thing.
I would love it.
Me too.
Okay.
I had this conversation the other day. Don't get me wrong, I love cars, but I love driving, but I love driving a proper car.
Yeah.
If I'm driving a piece of junk,
yeah,
and I'm just or a rental car, if I'm in my Kia Sportage, you know what I mean?
Not that Kia's a junk,
but you know what I mean? I'm not like, I'd never go out and buy a Sportage. But you know, if I'm just like going from A to B, like I've got a 3-hour commute to work to the set, and that is great. But if I could sit there and get up to date with my emails and do my things and, you know, have a whiskey and, you know what I mean, do my own thing and not have to worry about driving, then that would be great. I could just get where, or have a sleep.
Okay,
just,
I have a question. You know? Do you think the rise of autonomous vehicles mean there will be a less of a desire for road trips, or more of a desire for road trips and adventure?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm going to say more, because I think the majority of people that are going to be using and utilizing autonomous cars and journeys are going to be doing so in and around town, shorter journeys, getting to and from work, doing the school runs, that sort of stuff. You're not going to be using autonomy to go and do the North Coast 500 because you want to drive those roads. Exactly. And therefore, those roads are probably not going to have as many autonomous cars on them. I think there may still be trucks and things.
Yeah.
But I think what will happen in this, I think we're entering a really fascinating transformation time where automation is going to become a thing before we know it. Very much, it's going to, a bit like electric cars. For a long time, it seemed like a distant idea. And then suddenly, every other household has got a Tesla. It's like, oh gosh, it's happening now. Electric cars are here. I think automation is going to do very much the same thing. But if anything, I truly believe that what we'll see more of is real, as you put it, real cars with real drivers that want to go on road trips. That will become more of an apparent thing, because driving as a recreational pleasure activity will always exist. Whether your car runs on hydrogen, petrol, diesel or electricity, it will always be something that people want to do.
Cars might become more of a kind of thing that a motorcycle is.
Because yes, right now,
a motorcycle is not a necessity.
Correct.
Well, it is to some people. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe more scooters than motorcycles. But you know, a motorcycle is one of those things where you have your, you know, if you have your car, and then you want something a bit fun, or you want something for the weekends, or
it's a
toy.
Yeah, yeah. Driving, you know, will become a passion activity.
Well, you know, it will all of a sudden it will turn. You know. Hopefully it'll go that way. Well, you have your nice car, you'll have your motorcycle in your drive or in your garage car. And you have your automated car or whatever service Google or whatever service it is, you just ring them on your app and they take you from where to where or whatever it is. I don't know. But that part of it, the boring driving was done automatically. Yeah. And you can focus on your life, because we're all getting busier and busier as a species.
Well, and do you know what? I have to say, on the automated thing, I reckon this pandemic has probably changed the thinking around automation. Because, you know, as things stand, we've seen this from trains and buses, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of people out there that are now apprehensive about public transport.
That's true.
And its use.
Well,
and if people could go, do you know what? I can actually get this app which will drive my car for me on that boring daily commute that I do all the time, but I'm in the safety of my bubble. I'm not catching any colds in my own space. Yeah, yeah. I think that might be really appealing.
Well, like I don't know the exact numbers, but when the whole COVID thing and after the first lockdown, the increase of people going out and getting their CBT and learning how to ride motorcycles increased by 75% or something ridiculous.
Wow.
Like Mutt motorcycles. And you know Mutt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they make these really cool 125s.
Yeah, cool.
We're going to get you on one of those.
Yes, you'd like a Mutt.
We'll segue this conversation into getting him on a motorcycle very shortly.
It's going to happen.
But Mutt motorcycles, they make these really cool 125s. I built one for my daughter on Goblin Works.
Yeah,
in one
and
episode.
That was really cool. If you built me one like that, then
But they come like that. All I did with that was make an exhaust pipe, and I got my buddy D-Face to make an amazing paint job on it. Other than that,
it was the paint job I loved.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, the paint job almost ruined that bike, because my daughter's scared to touch the bike, because she's like, what if someone saw the TV show and then figured out how much D-Face's artwork is worth, then finds out that that bike is painted by him, and then they come and steal my motorcycle. So I'm like, what are we going to do? So yeah, so that tank and all the artwork is going to go on her wall until she's a bit older.
That's nice.
And then she's going to get like just the standard bike, standard paintwork.
See, that's really what I'm after, a tank with some artwork.
Yeah, exactly. You just want a D-Face custom art paintwork. But Mutt, one of the Mutt dealers, right? Just after COVID, in one single day, sold something like 75 motorcycles, 125 in one day.
Yeah, and I mean, they were saying like push bikes were sold out within 2 weeks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I wanted to buy a push bike at the beginning of lockdown, and it just not for love nor money, couldn't find any of my size in the UK at all. Everything had gone.
It's something I was watching a video on, and the idea that after World War II, the way that people thought, because humanity was put under such stress and pressure and had to think differently about the way that they lived and, you know, how we worked, how we, you know, have families, relationships. This is almost our generation's, not World War II, that sounds horrible, but the way that we have to all collectively work against this common difficulty. And trying to think about the way, as you've said, Andy, that our lives are now suddenly very, very different, and the way that we work is very different, the way that we communicate and we travel and exercise, everything. And so that will now kickstart all of these offshoots of incredible new ventures, ideas, products, and it's can always be quite exciting to think, okay, I wonder what this is going to produce, the good things that this will produce in the future. And I think something to do with autonomous vehicles, motorcycles, whatever, will be interesting to see what's going to come up in the next 5-10 years.
Autonomous motorcycle now.
I said that, and then I was like, that won't be a thing.
I'm like, you're out in the elements. You know, I've got a 3-hour commute. But you know, I'm just going to sit on the back of something and just get pelted by the rain in England for the next 3 hours. You know, I'm trying to have my coffee and read the paper. It's not really working out for me.
Should have
splurged for the car.
Should have just done that.
An autonomous motorcycle is possibly the worst idea.
The most scary thing in the world. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. We're going really quick now. We're a bit close to that truck. Oh my God.
I mean, some people may want that thrill.
Well, maybe. They can always, you know, come on the back of my bike if they want.
Just get chased by Ant.
Are there
now motorcycles that are being built that you can't fall, like tip them?
Honda made one that's freestanding.
Yeah.
It's got a gyro, similar technology to a Segway.
Yeah. Is that just when you're at a standstill or when you're riding?
I think it's just when it's at a standstill. I think that the idea being that it's for storage in very tight spaces, it will wheel itself in and out of this gap that you wouldn't be able to, like a cupboard, basically. It just wheels itself into the
cupboard.
On its own, yeah.
Autonomous bike.
Yeah, it's a thing.
What did I say?
See, that idea was actually stolen from me and a good friend of mine, John Collins. So we had a drunken conversation. John Collins.
Disappointment.
He's the cousin of Tom Collins.
Let's change the story to make it Joan. Now I'm in. I'm all in. Because you and Joan are very similar in age.
Yeah, so we are. Me and Joan,
did
we go way back.
Did you date her for a while?
Well, you know, rumor had it. I don't kiss and tell again.
You stepped out with her father for a little while.
Well, you know. But John's an electrical and a mechanical engineer. I used to build ships. Before I built motorcycles, I used to build ships. I used to custom build ships. And John, me and him, he loves motorcycles. And we were talking about this one night, and he's like, we need to make a motorcycle that when you pull up to the stoplight, you don't have to put your feet down. The bike just... You can pull in the clutch, you can slow down and then pull in the clutch and the bike will stay stood up, right? But not without training wheels or anything like that. And he's like, do you remember those motorcycles you had when you were a kid and you'd wind the wheel and you'd spin it and you'd,
yes,
and then you'd let it go. And it'd like, but if you didn't let it go and you held it in your hand, it'd be like, woo, and it's got this kind of centrifugal force that kind of held it up, right? So if you had a bearing in the wheel, like a wheel within a wheel. Yeah. So you're going along and you've got this heavy kind of bearing in your wheel,
mm-hmm.
We were thinking this back when I only used to build custom Harleys and big, heavy cruisers.
I was about to say, this sounds very heavy.
Yeah, you wouldn't want your Panigale Superleggera on the same program. It'd kind of be a bit kind of pointless. But we were thinking of, designed this in the pub, obviously. And it was definitely going to work. And so you'd pull up to the stoplight and you'd have this inner wheel inside your wheel that had a bit of weight to it.
Yeah.
And so when you pulled up to the stoplight, you kind of, that wheel clutched itself out from the outer wheel with the tire on it that connected to the surface. But those would keep going like this and create the gyroscopic force to keep you upright. So you could just be sitting there like this with your feet on the pegs, hands on the handlebars. People would be looking at you. Your bike still stood up like it's going, like it's still moving, right? Because the wheels are still moving, right?
There's at least six mechanical engineers whose brains have just caught fire.
Yeah.
Trying to work out how this might work.
And if you'd like Ant to chase you, then...
Hashtag whiskey chaser.
The whiskey chaser. I want to keep going on. I'd love some people to want Ant to chase them. I think that would be so wonderful. I just love the interaction with the listener. That would be so good.
I have so much time on my hands these days.
Exactly,
well, man. Between filming TV shows and chasing, building motorcycles and chasing people.
But you do it for the pod review, though, wouldn't you?
I definitely do it for it's all about the Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. I just need more followers.
That's
just
great.
My whole life is all about followers.
Now there is a little thing that I need to kind of make it as an announcement at this stage.
Uh-oh.
So, dear listener, this is John Marker and myself's second/third attempt at recording a podcast with Ant that we can go to air. So far, 40 minutes in, I think we're okay. I think we're okay so
good
far, John. So we're safe. However, on our last visit, we were with Ant in his hotel. And I remember commenting that the roads around here were a bit frightening, a bit dodgy.
Yes.
And not great condition.
No.
And I remember John Markar commenting, the Surrey potholes, they're rubbish.
Yes.
John, what happened when you, because I drove left, John drove right.
Yeah.
John, what happened when you drove right after we last recorded with Ant?
I got approximately 3 minutes into my commute home. Now, let's just to point out to dear listener, but I live quite a long way away from here. We are in the depths of Surrey. Although I grew up down the road from here. I live in the West Midlands, so it's a fair old trek to get back home. I was 3 minutes into my journey, hit the most dramatic pothole I've ever hit in my life. And I'm usually you do the typical thing. You try and spot a pothole before you hit it.
Mm.
Didn't see it. I blew a tyre at about 11:45 at night. And
you should have called me. I had no
for
idea.
For what?
would have came and helped you change the tyre.
There was no tyre because I drive a BMW from an era that doesn't believe in spare wheels or tyres anymore.
You get
I must
bag
say,
of
that
gas.
Reaction from John was not particularly grateful there. For what? That was his first.
I must have hit that pothole a week before that and ripped the tyre off my Sportage.
Yeah,
the offer of help from Ant was immediate.
No,
instant reaction from John. For what?
I think, John, let's give John a bit of leeway. I think he's still a little bit hurt by this.
I am. And I hit a pothole on the way here.
Did it not have run flats on your BMW? Don't BMW have run flats?
I hate run flats. But they're pointless again. They're
pointless.
They're completely pointless because all it does is it gets you another mile down the road without destroying your alloy.
Yeah.
But I hit one of these potholes.
You were so smug earlier that Waze over Google Maps actually pointed out potholes.
Yes, if it's been reported. Yes.
Yeah, if you report it. Yeah, yeah. But you have to, someone has to report it.
Did you report that pothole?
I didn't.
I do, actually. I do because when I ride motorcycles, if you're cooking around a corner, and you're like doing the speed limit, but as fast as the speed limit allow you to go around this corner, of course, and you see on your ways a pothole, you slow right down and think.
Or roadkill, that's the other one.
Or roadkill.
Warning, roadkill ahead.
Well, that's on the ways.
Yeah. Wow.
Everything.
You can just
report. Very good at it.
And what's funny was, I always thought, I'm like, how does this know where the pothole is?
Yeah.
Right? Because you've got your screen up in your car, right? And you know the big orange button.
Like, by the time you've gone through all the
by the
things,
time you've already gone past this massive accident or whatever, or a police camera or whatever, I'm thinking you've hit that button because it's going to take a while before that. But no,
it's
if you hit
clever.
The button instantly when you see it, you don't. It just logs it then.
That's right.
And then
also,
whatever you have whatever time
to
report
it. Two or three
other
people to also report it, and then it aims it into the right spot.
So, because I thought, okay, well, I'll hit the button now, but then by the time I pull into a services and type it in, whatever it was, or hit 15 other buttons, it's going to be 5 miles behind me and no one's going to know where it was. But it's actually when you touch the button. Yeah, so
it is. Very good.
It's quite cool.
We're not endorsed by Waze in any way, shape or form, but it is a fantastic app.
I'm
going to
update it and give it a try.
Although I do have my complaints because it does suck a little bit. Because when it does tell you, like where Google Maps, it'll tell you when you're coming to an exit, it'll light up a different lane and it'll tell you to get off this exit. Uh-huh. Where Waze sometimes is like, you're supposed to get off the exit, but it's just telling you in like, you know, a mile to get off the exit, but you're already on the on ramp or the off ramp is like half a mile long.
It's best if you roughly know where you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached that moment in the podcast where it's time to go deep with Amy Shaw Photography.
Oh,
Amy, you alluded to, prior to us beginning this podcast recording, you alluded to the fact that you wanted to go deep with Ann Partridge, and this is your opportunity. So
this is worrying to a lot of people right now listening.
Okay, then.
Well, I mean,
if they know me.
As worried as they
like. If they know me.
So Amy and Ann are sitting next to each other. And
socially distanced.
Socially distanced. Oh, you know, there's a lot of space between them.
This is a huge couch.
it's a really big sofa.
We're staying in your 10 grand a month pad, man. I mean, you know, you'd expect a big sofa. Nonetheless, it's time to go deep with Amy Shaw. Amy, you take over. It's up to you.
Okay, then. Well, motorcycle riding, as both you and I know, is a very sociable thing.
Yes.
And I was talking to you earlier, just as we're having our pizza, and I was saying, you know, what is something that gives you the most joy? And you were saying, riding around with my friends, and this has been a year where you've been struggling to do that a little bit. Mm. What have you been doing to keep up your joy when you're not able to ride around?
Well, outside of work, because, you know, I'm very lucky to be, you know, we're filming through the whole second lockdown, mm-hmm. and we were in kind of, we were planning things through the last lockdown. It's been, so through the whole COVID thing, I've kind of been working. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had too much time by myself. The first lockdown I was by myself and I was kind of isolated with my family, which was good because I was with family. Mm-hmm. Because my, like I said to you, I'm a guy that, you know, I don't mind my own company, but I prefer to be sat around like now with three or four friends and hanging out, talking, whatever. And that's where I love to be. I love to be surrounded by people. People are my energy. I take energy from having, you know, cool, fun people around me. but yeah, I haven't done many road trip, the Malle Mile, mm-hmm. Where we were last hanging
That's
out.
Where we were last hanging
that
out.
Really kind of, I was kind of getting to my serotonin levels were dropping to an all time low because I hadn't done a road trip or gone on traveling or been on a proper motorcycle ride with friends. And the Malle Mile was like the event that saved the summer because it was the only event of the summer.
It's probably one of the few places we got to see actually all of our biking friends.
Exactly. You know, it was a race, so it wasn't a festival or anything, so it's allowed, and we socially distanced. It was a good, safe event, and they pulled it off. Johnny and Robert are awesome people. The Malle Mile. If you any listeners out there, if you ride a motorcycle, or you just want to watch crazy people ride motorcycles inappropriately, race each other in a field, go to the Malle Mile. But that kind of saved my levels because I got to see my friends and got to race against my friends and got to get extremely inebriated with my friends.
I remember.
Present company included.
Amy might still be drunk from it.
It was the first time. So I went there you know what a camel pack is. You ride motorcycles, right? I don't know if you know what a camel pack is.
Nope.
A camel pack is a backpack that's essentially a bladder, which you put liquids in.
Yeah,
if you're going mountain biking or hiking or all of your, you know,
desert stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
All your mountain climbing and all that.
Yeah.
All my extreme sports.
Extreme sports.
You guys are laughing. I injure myself a lot doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, of course. I decided to take...
filled it with booze, right?
So I put a liter of Jack Daniels in a camel pack and thought, because I'm one of the commentators. So we have, there's three of us commentators for the races, and we commentate the races with the Channel 9 commentary crew. And so... you know, a lot of the people at the race, at the event, they bring us a drink and they'll give us a drink. But sometimes you'll be like an hour and you can't leave the booth because you're commentating the races and you need a drink. You're really parched. And so I was like, you know what? So I went, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make the jaunt over to the van and go make myself a drink. So I run over to my van and I saw all my motocross gear because I was racing the next day. So I thought, okay, well, I'll get my new camel pack and I've got a bottle of whiskey. I've got some ginger ale, some ice. I'll just make a big drink. So I put a liter of whiskey in a camel pack, bunch of ice, and a bit of ginger ale.
Festival advice, not festival advice.
Not get race
from,
advice.
From Aunt Partridge, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So then I proceeded to drink an entire camel pack full of whiskey over the course of a day.
Yeah, and then what was funny is that you kept going back to the van to top up. And those times that you disappeared, sometimes went up to like 2 hours before you reappeared again. And we'd be like, where is Ant? Should we go and check up on him? I think you fell asleep and then woke up and then can't.
No, it's actually, it takes me a long time to get anywhere. If you speak.
If anyone being chased by you, you're fine.
I like to have conversations and I don't, you know, I'm the worst person to ever. If I go anywhere with you, if you take me to a social event, I'm the worst. Like, Helen hates going anywhere with me because if we go to, like, if I go to the Mallet Mile with Helen, I'm like, I'll go to the bar and get the drinks. So I'll go literally.
She's like, I'll see you tomorrow.
Exactly. Because, like, I'll start, someone will be like, hey. And if it's, you know, whether it's a friend or, you know, a fellow racer or a fan of the show or somebody that wants to talk about a bike I built or something, I don't like just saying hi, whatever, and just leaving people. I end up. And especially if I've had a few whiskeys, I'll end up
moving in with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it always takes me 2 hours to get a drink. So.
Well, I mean, that's no real surprise. And you've just been deep with Amy Shaw. Mm-hmm. We're coming to the end of the podcast. I thought I'd try something new today, which is that I want to switch this around just for a little bit.
Okay.
And I am going to give you the opportunity to ask either John or Amy one question and one question only. Firstly, who would you like to choose to be your question answerer?
I would suggest to choose. I thought I was going to ask them both a question.
We can ask both a question if you want.
You
could
it
be the same?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Fine.
I'm ready.
Tuck it. Over to you, Monfrey.
Okay. I'm going to swap this around because I know you. I know, John, you ride motorcycles.
I do.
You've had quite a few Ducatis.
I have.
You have. But you're predominantly a car guy.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm playing that game where you can't say yes or no.
Yeah. and Amy, you have a love of cars, but I think in your heart you're a bike gal.
You know what? I love my classic cars, but since riding motorcycles, it has been an absolute joy, the best thing I've done as a grown up. So yeah.
So I'll flip the question. So if money were no object, and it doesn't have to be a manufacturer, it could be a custom build, or it could be a manufacturer. What would be, John,
mm-hmm.
what motorcycle would you want right now?
One motorcycle. Mine, I think it's going to be quite easy, and it's relevant to the time of year. I have got such a hankering at the moment for the new, it's a Ducati, but it's the new Multistrada. They've done
one of my
V4.
Favorite bikes on the planet.
V4. There's a V4 Multistrada now, and they do the enduro version, which has got the aluminium panniers. It's got a crash cage around it. You can simply drop it off a mountain, and it will just bounce, and you start it up again. They look so good, and every single person that I speak to that rides them, they're like, I kind of don't need to do this whole superbike thing anymore because this thing just does
that
it
is
all.
A superbike.
Yeah,
you can take a Multistrada to a track day,
yes,
and smoke 90% of the people on the track.
Yes,
you can take it off-roading. You can take it. You can race up Pikes Peak. A friend of mine, he rode a Multistrada when they first kind of came out. He rode a Pikes Peak Multistrada from L.A. to Pikes Peak.
Wow.
Had Olin's sort the suspension out, put some slicks on it, and then he won Pikes Peak on that same bike he just rode.
Incredible.
A daily ride. That is, right now, as a manufacturer, that's the bike I want.
Yeah, same.
My hat's off to you. And Amy, being what I will call a bike gal,
yeah.
Car. Give me, what car would you take right now? And again, it could be a custom car, you know, like could be, you know, like could be a singer, or it could be a, you know, one of who makes custom cars,
David Ramini or something like that.
Uncle Magnus.
Rod Emery. Magnus doesn't sell cars, though.
Nobody will.
No, yeah, you have to really hammer on him to get him to sell the car.
Yeah, maybe one of those. One of his.
One of Magnus's.
I mean, I'm more of a classic.
Well, what about Rod Emery? He does a nice Porsche.
Yes, yeah. But I don't know. I think
I'm
Porsche's,
also not sure you're a Porsche girl.
I'm not a Porsche girl. I mean, at one point I'd love to be for a short time, I think. But until then, no, something probably like, I mean, I've talked about this in the past in the pod, but like a Volvo P1800, I think such a wicked car. So that's the thing I'm kind of going. It was an XJS Jag until recently when I raced one. Now I've kind of got it out of my system.
Do you follow Tom and Dale from Maguire's?
No, should I?
You definitely should. So every year, do you guys know?
They're regulars at Cafe and Machine. Oh, nice guys.
And so every year they do a build-off, right? Tom versus Dale. And they film it and they make like a YouTube series out of it. And they build really cool cars. And right now, Dale is building, he's got an S-Type, supercharged S-Type. He's turned into a full-blown Hellion race car. I mean, it's got a full roll cage. It's had the engine redone. It's been all stripped out. It's had the arches flared out, but like very subtly, it's lowered. It's on magnesium race wheels. And then Tommy's building a Volvo.
Seriously?
I mean, and they're awesome.
They are beautiful.
But every year they do a really cool custom car.
We should get them on the pod, John.
Yes.
You definitely need to get those boys on the pod. And they are the UK distributors of Maguire's. They sponsor us, kindly enough. All my motorcycle and car cleaning products come from those boys.
They've got some brilliant cars. They've got that lovely old Crown Vic.
Oh yeah, they did. We did an episode of Goblin Works, and he came down. Dale came down to help us polish one of a car. We weren't going to paint. We were just bringing the paint back.
Yeah.
So Dale came down and kind of showed us the ropes on how to actually key a car back and polish it and bring the paint back. And he brought the Crown Vic, the police car.
Yeah.
And when he was leaving, we're like, come on, light him up. So he just kind of, it literally just smoked the tires and left a 200-meter black patch of rubber out from our set, from our workshop, all the way down the street.
Yeah, we need to get them on the pod. Well, I really love to send
them. And they're really cool guys.
Do you know what their Instagram is? I'm just trying to find it.
It'd just be Maguire's UK, I think.
No, well, Maguire's UK, but then you've got Dale Maguire's and Tommy Teapot, I think.
There you go.
I definitely would love to get them on the pod.
Yes,
they
sound amazing.
Now, just before we go, Amy, can you please remind the dear listeners about rating and reviewing and what the challenge is for this week?
Well, the challenge. Please, if you have enjoyed this podcast, which I hope you have, then do leave us a 5-star review and a lovely comment about any one of us. And if you really, really loved it, then you can say, what was it? Hashtag
Whiskey Chaser. We need Whiskey Chaser's got to be already. It's already a hashtag for sure.
Well, it's
we're
okay.
Gonna add something
I want
to
be chased by Ant.
If you want to be chased,
Whiskey Chaser.
Yes, if you want to be chased by Ant, then leave us a comment just saying really enjoyed the pod. Please, Ant Whiskey Chaser, chase me.
Ant's Whiskey Chaser would do, wouldn't it, John? Hashtag Ant's Whiskey Chaser.
It. Or if that doesn't work, Ant gon' get me.
Ain't
just basically making any reference.
Ain't gone get me.
Any reference.
Like, I'm not going to get you, but maybe I will get you. It's too complicated.
A nice comment about the pod and any reference to Ant coming to chase you. And we will furnish you with a bottle of whiskey if you're the winner of that draw before the end of Jan 2021. We will choose at random. Let's hope we get more than 10 people. We will provide you with a bottle of whiskey. We will set a date and a rough location spot, and Ant will be on
chasing
a mission
you.
To receive. And listen, if you do successfully get chased by Ant, there will be a little goodie bag of Driven Chat goodies that he will present to you. There it you won't go. Just be that he licks your cheek. If he
chasing
Ant.
You for the greater good.
I won't just lick your forehead or your cheek and take your bottle of whiskey. I will.
He will present you with some Driven Chat goodies. That's it for today. Thank
hold
you
on,
very
hold,
much
hold,
for
hold on, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm gonna have to stop you right there.
Go,
because
go, go.
Oh. All right. Because Amy, John, we haven't talked about what he's trying to avoid, right? He's trying to avoid. I would be a bad ambassador for riding
John,
motorcycles.
He looks exhausted. Bless him, John.
Listen, he's very comfortable. He's very comfortable. Amy's looking very comfortable in the corner of that couch.
Because
the only one
something.
That's not comfortable right now, and his face has gone a little bit red, is that man over there behind the
My
big expensive microphone.
Red.
Andy J.
This is something that we're trying to talk you into, Mr. Andy J. And you seem to
had some of my friends on the podcast, and they've all done the same. And
it's true.
We need to get this man on a motorcycle, don't we?
We do.
You've had so many offers now.
Yeah.
I haven't really had offers, to be honest. It's not like anyone has said...
Maria Costello said, come on, I will teach you. And I have been like, come on, we'll teach you.
It's not like, hey, look, here's an empty car park.
Okay, so this is...
safe bike. And here's some leathers. And here's a
I'm
helmet,
putting it down right now. This here's the gauntlet, right? I've got a brand new set of leathers that you can wear. You'll look a bit of a tit in them because you'll be riding either an electric scooter or something like a 125cc motorcycle. But we will fully kit you out in bubble wrap you like the princess you are, right? So you can't fall off and scrape yourself. I will provide the motorcycle.
Okay.
I will provide the protective clothing.
Yep.
I will get Maria Costello.
Okay.
I'll call up Charlie Borman.
All right.
We'll get the lovely Amy and John and anybody else who we can get.
Can I get a painted tank that I can keep afterwards?
I will get Helen to paint a tank.
Okay, I'm in. Yep,
yeah.
Done. All right. Yeah, sure. Okay, we'll do it.
Imagine that for a first ever motorcycle.
Yeah, that sounds too good to be true.
We'll get the boys down at Caffeine and Machine because it's close to my house, about 40 minutes from my house.
All right.
And we all love Caffeine and Machine. It's kind of your home away from home.
Exactly.
So we can call that home base, and we can call everybody there as soon as this lockdown is done. Let's get Christmas out of the way.
Yeah.
Early New Year.
All right.
Because January sucks. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No one wants to spend any money. Everyone's worn out from Christmas. And this year, who knows what's going to go on. So January is usually a pretty rubbish month.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The after New Year's hangover lasts an entire month. But let's do something in January. Let's set this up. Let's not let him get away with it.
He is not going to get away with it. We can do this.
Yeah. I think there's a glimmer of excitement in there.
No, that
there
sounded
is.
Very cool. You
yes.
know, you've just put together a cast list of awesome. You've also been the first person that's actually said, I'll bring you some protective gear, a bike, a helmet. You're going to have a painted tank. I mean, that's an offer I can't say no to.
Well, the painted tank only comes as a reward.
Okay, well, that's okay. That's
right?
fair enough.
Right? That's a reward for doing good.
I'm up for
right. Maria has kindly offered to teach you, and she's very good. She's very calm.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And she will guide you.
She's also
we'll
going
to make
John
the back.
Sick in a sidecar, which I'm,
yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
But like I said, you can. I've got a brand new set of leathers.
All right.
I've got some boots you can wear. What size shoes are you?
10.
10? Yeah. Perfect. I'm 10 and a half. So
amazing.
There you go. My boots.
I was going to say 10 and a half, and I thought that sounded a bit too big.
So you got a brand new pair of boots.
All right.
You got a set of leathers. You might have to go on a bit of a diet.
Now, that's not unfair. Yeah, that's not unfair.
You know, because my cougar-like frame, I am in fit.
You're in shape.
I'm at my fighting weight right now.
Yeah, no, I'm at my lardy best.
But anyways, we're roughly similar size.
Okay.
So you will fit my leathers. I have a spare helmet.
Right.
I've got 36 helmets, so you can pick whichever one you want.
36?
That's cool.
36 helmets.
Would you keep them all? That's a lot of space.
In my sister's loft. She's like, when are you going to move these helmets?
She's never going to get a loft conversion.
I've got eight at my house.
You've got a wall of helmet boxes somewhere. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Brilliant. All right. Yeah. Okay.
So
I'm in.
You have no excuse, Andy.
I'm in. That sounds great. It's the first tangible thing that I can actually say yes to, because everything else has been, oh, we should get you to do, and we could do.
No,
that.
No. We You're are gonna. Saying, we're gonna make boom, this happen. Boom, boom. I'll get a manufacturer on board.
All right.
And they will provide a couple of 125cc motors, or maybe a fleet of them for us all. And we'll all go for a ride together.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, Maria will go you through, do your kind of CBT training.
Okay.
And then we'll go for a little ride.
You know I'm going to be rubbish, right? I mean, just
can you ride a bicycle?
Yeah.
Then you can ride a motorcycle.
You can ride a motorcycle.
It's easier. You don't have to pedal. You don't. It's like cheating.
Yeah.
You think it'll take my weight?
What's that?
You think it'll take my weight?
Listen. It will take.
Maybe. The only thing he can't answer.
You can put four people on a mutt motorcycle. Okay. I've had four guys on a 125.
Okay. And that's the name of your sex tape. That's all we can do for today's Driven Chat podcast. Thank you so much for your company today. John, just remind us how you can get in touch and all the rest of it, and then I'll bid you all goodbye.
Yes, well, please do. Say hello on social media. We're very easy to find, at Driven Chat on Instagram, on Twitter. We have a Facebook page. We have a YouTube channel as well. So, yeah, why not come along, say hello, tell us you're listening, tell us you'd like to be chased by ants, and we'll make that happen.
Ant, it's been such a pleasure. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And thank you so much to you, the listener. We do really appreciate you. And more of the same next week, hey? It's a date. Bye!
The Driven Chat podcast in association with Paramex Digital. You dream it, we bring it to life. Find out more at drivenchat.com.
Oh, wow. You've made it to the end. The very end. And it's John Markar here again, reminding you that this podcast, the Driven Chat podcast, has now run its course and has come to an end. To find the new format, search the Driven podcast in your preferred podcast app, or head on over to the website driven.site to find some quick and easy links through to the new episodes in the new formats on your preferred apps. Thanks. Bye.